message you need to hear. Righteousness. But if you are righteous and know who you are, and that you've got rights to be healed, rights to be protected, rights to be delivered, rights to have a good family, rights, I'm gonna tell you, God will honor those rights going and coming and won't let nobody take them away. You know your rights. Faith flows like a flood. It's time for the saints to get bold, but we're gonna do it with righteousness. All right, look at Romans chapter 5, and I want to read one scripture, which we're going to use as our foundation scripture as we make our way through this teaching. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see what that says. It says, by one man's offense death reigned. Now, that one man was Adam. And because of Adam's sin in the garden, death reigned. Now, we'll talk about that in just a little bit here. And then it says, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So it's two things he wants you to receive, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. What life? This life, by one Jesus Christ. So we're talking about being able to reign. We're talking about being able to not be reigned on, but for us to be able to reign, to take control, to invade places, to be able to change the places for Christ, to not let sickness just come in our house and take over, to not let the devil try to steal our finances or keep us from being as blessed or being a blessing like we want to be, to reign. And so that's what he's saying right there. Now, I want to read that same verse out of Romans chapter 5, verse 17 in the Amplified translation. Here's what it says. But if because of one man's trespass, lapse, or offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them in the right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. All right, there's a couple of things that he talks about here, and I just want to do this and use this as we talk about this whole idea of righteousness. We're calling this series The Reality of Righteousness. The Reality of Righteousness. Now, first, I want to talk about grace, just to make a few pointers about grace. Now, you know and I know that we said that grace means God's what? Unmerited favor. Grace means God's unmerited favor, and it is that. But it's a little bit more than that. We said also it's God's willingness to use his ability on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. Now, that brings us to another place. Now, as we start talking about grace and what grace is, one of the things we're finding out that grace is something that's void of human effort. It's something that's void of human effort. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, would you turn that with me for please? Ephesians chapter 2, and look at 2 verse 8. And this is a scripture that you should have memorized in your foundation classes. How many of y'all know we have foundation classes in this ministry? So we can lay a foundation in you. All right, look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Okay? It says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God. Now, how do we get saved? Wait a minute. All right. Wait. Won't you see the whole piece of this now? We got saved by grace through faith. Got it? We got saved by grace through faith. So faith
is the channel or the door to get to God's grace. Now, everything is in His grace. Your healing is in His grace. Your prosperity is in His grace. Every victory is in His grace. Everything is in His grace. But to you to get to His grace, you're going to have to go through what? Faith. All right? So now we're seeing here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, a gift you don't have to pay for. So it's something that is freely given to you from God, which comes through how? What? Grace. It comes through grace. By what? By faith. So faith accesses the grace of God. And then it says, verse 9, not of works, lest any of you would boast. So it's not of works. Now, how do we get saved? By grace through what? Faith. Now, how are you going to continue with God? By grace, come on, through faith. You see, and what happens sometimes is some people take it and they leave grace and they go into works, and that will bring you no increase, because God works with us by grace. Ooh, I want you to get this. Look at Galatians, Galatians chapter 2 now. Galatians chapter 2. Now, that's just before the book of Ephesians, so you don't have to go far. Galatians chapter 2. All right? Now, look at Galatians chapter 2. Now, watch this. Watch how this works. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, notice that it's a scripture that we all memorize. Am I right about it? Amen. Say it with me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How many of y'all remember that scripture? All right. Watch this. Next verse. I do not, what? Frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Notice, it's connecting grace and righteousness here. Now, I want you to see this. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. All right? Now, and he goes on in the next chapter, by the way, elaborating on that. Now, how can you frustrate the grace of God? Okay. You can frustrate the grace of God by not letting God do it. You can frustrate the grace of God by trying to do it yourself. And that's not the deal. The deal is that it's by grace. You started by grace, and you have to continue by grace. You're going to have to finish by grace. It's going to have to be God, 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 God. You got it? And the tendency is that we get in there and try to do it by works. And see, that causes us many times problems that we shouldn't really have, because we're trying to do something. That's where the Ishmaels get born. You know, Ishmaels are hard. They're easy to come by, but hard to get rid of. But anyway, so notice here, I'm moving by grace now. I'm moving. The Word of God is going to come into my heart, and it's going to convict me. Now, what the devil will try to do is make it condemn you. But I'll show you the difference here when we get a little bit further. But it'll convict me. Now, what it'll convict me, it'll prick my heart. It'll tell me that something's not right in my life. Got it? Now, the thing that I have to do is I have to rely on the grace of God to help me overcome it. And I cannot do it in my own strength. How many of you tried to work something in your own strength and you said, God, I can't do that? And when you gave up, looked like that's when it started happening. Because as long as you're doing it by works, grace doesn't work. See, faith is you reaching to God. Grace is Him reaching to you. And it was first. See? But your faith accesses his what? Grace. Accesses your healing. Accesses your flow. So all that is there, and it's available for you, but you got to get it by grace. It's free. You can't pay anything for it. You can't work for it. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, it says it called him to a rest. Jesus said, come unto me all who labor and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you what? Rest. See, it's a rest. He does it. Now, I know that's different for us because we're used to working for everything. But you can't, the things of God, you have to let God bring it to you. So when God brings us to the place of conviction, that means that we're born again. That means that we have the word. That means that the word is doing its job. Now, when that word does its job, it's not bringing you there to condemn you. It's bringing you there to show you that without him, you can't overcome it. And what you do is access his grace. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we go along, because a lot of times people haven't heard the message of grace. And because of it, they're trying to do something themselves. And the whole same old habits jump up time and time again because we're trying to do it ourselves. We're still waiting on that healing, been waiting on it for 5 years, so forth and so on. A lot of times we do it doing ourselves. And what we have to do is understand, even faith folks now, I'm talking about faith folks. If faith, we start doing using our faith instead of his faith. Oh boy, all right. So people are trying to get an inheritance sometimes and their needs met by faith alone. But that faith that we need is something that we apply that faith to, and that's called grace. So really what I put down here, the source of all strife in our lives, is something called human effort. So once you come into God, now it's going to be God's ability that's going to take you, the thing that saved you, and that's going to be the thing that takes you on. Now, we're going to go in more of that. But grace is not only unmerited favor, but grace is God's willingness to use his ability on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. So it's grace. It's by grace. Now, let's deal with righteousness, because that's what we're coming in this for, the reality of righteousness. They that receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign as kings in life by one, Jesus, the anointed one. Now, what is righteousness? One person would define righteousness as right standing with God. Right standing with God. One of the things righteousness is not, it is not the goody-goody way you act. I want to act good enough to be righteous. You can't. No such thing. Righteousness is not the goody-goody way you act. The goody-goody way you act, or the way you act, is conduct. And we look at a scripture and brings out a word for conduct called holiness. And that goes into conduct. But righteousness is not that. Here's what righteousness is. Righteousness is literally the life and the nature of Almighty God. The life and the nature of God. It's that which puts you into right standing, or that which brings you into something called sonship. It's the ability to stand in the presence of the Father God, without a sense of guilt or inferiority or condemnation. It means virtually restoring mankind all that was lost in the fall, including a relationship as his son or daughter. Righteousness. Now, let's look at that. Let's go over to Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. This is going to get good. I only have a short time to make it good, but it's going to be good. Now, why am I teaching this? One reason I'm teaching it is because it says the just shall live by faith. What does the word just, what is it short for? Justification, which is what? Righteousness. So the righteous shall live how? By faith. So for you to live by faith, right, you're going to have a sense of righteousness. And if you don't know what righteousness is, how are you going to live by faith? Now, living by faith, by the way, is not a suggestion. It's going to be a mandate. When you get before Jesus, the idea about it is the things that you've done to this earth, you have to do by faith. Everything else is works, and it'd be burned up in the fire. You get nothing for it. It's a mandate that you live by faith. That is not a suggestion. All right, now let's keep going. Why righteousness? Why am I teaching this? Because righteousness is a force that'll bring peace to your life. Why teach righteousness? Because it will produce your provision. Why teach righteousness? Because it'll give you perfect fellowship with the Father. Why teach righteousness? Because righteousness will stop sin. Why teach righteousness? Because righteousness will put you in a place where you can see yourself as the Father sees you. Why teach righteousness? It gets you out of sense knowledge over into real faith. Now, let's look at this. The church has not been taught, by and large now, this whole thing of righteousness, which I'm about to teach on. Because when you do, and you have been taught it, you can reign as kings. Now listen to me real quick, and I'm gonna go real quick with this, but I'm gonna say it, and I'm gonna get off of it. Now, if you have problems with this, then you just have problems. I don't have any problems with it. Last night I was home and I was looking at the news or something, and they interrupted the news because they talked about bad weather and so forth. If you know anything about what's happening weather-wise, what's happening in the earth, things seem to be getting, environmentally, seem to be getting a little worse. If you go and check the people who do the seismologists that do all the earthquakes and so forth, they'll tell you they're getting more frequent. Why? Because the earth is under a curse. Why? Because of what Adam did. And as we go toward the end of time, things get worse. But notice who he's got here. He's got some folks who are righteous. And if they understand how to walk in that righteousness, the reality of it, they can reign over the weather. Stay with me. Do you remember when bad weather came and attempted to sink the boat that Jesus and his disciples were on? How many of y'all remember that in the scripture? Did they wake up Jesus? He got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what? Peace be still. All right. What happened to the weather? Immediately there was a great calm. Then he turned to him and rebuked him. I believe it was a rebuke. He said, why are you so fearful? See, fear will contaminate your faith. Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? In other words, you were supposed to control the weather. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, God sent that storm. If God sent it, Jesus wouldn't have rebuked it, because it would have been the will of God. And Jesus never went against the will of his Father. Am I right or wrong? I'm right. How about the storm that came in on the coastline? And it came in on the coastline, and here was down in Florida. And here was Ron Canole, who was supposed to come up this way. And Ron was supposed to come and give a musical praise and worship concert. And he was supposed to come the next night. What happened? We got the report that a tornado had come in on the coast of Florida over there in that Orlando area. And then he called us and he said, listen, everything's shut down. The airport's shut down. This is that night. The highways are just a parking lot because everybody's fearful and trying to get out of here and so forth. And I said, well, listen, Brother Ron. I said, listen, don't even be concerned about it. We take care of it up here. So we got that night. Now, understand, that's that same night. We had a faith conference, had a guest speaker, and we took the people in that faith conference and said, let's use our faith. Let's take the storm and turn it around. That's right. From here.
That's right. That's right.
We then got together. My wife came up. I said, well, I don't need to pray. I can just let her pray. She prayed. Everybody agreed with him. The next morning, early in the morning, my phone rang at home. He said, hey, Pastor Bill. He said, listen, this is Brother Ron. I said, yeah, what's up? He said, look like something has happened here. I said, what happened? He said, looked like the hurricane took another turn. And also, the airplane, on the news, it said the airport's going to open up in 2 hours. Look like I'll be able to get out of here. Now, see, an unbeliever will say, oh, that would have happened anyway. That's because you're an unbeliever. But you'll get to be a believer. You hang around me long enough, you'll be a believer. I believe that we as saints, if we understand righteousness, see, a lot of people been trying to move out in faith with no righteousness. And it doesn't work. The just shall live by faith. Where you have your hand now? Where are you turned right now? Romans 3. Put something right there and turn with me to 2 Peter and chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, you better hope what I'm saying is true. Because it should be that if a tornado comes through this area and it's headed for your house, you ought to be glad that some folk can rise up and turn that thing around so it won't wipe out your house. Say amen to that. I'd rather hear that than to hear we can't do nothing about it. Well, we just got to sit here, gloop, 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 gloop. I guess it was the Lord's will. It wasn't the Lord's will. How about the book of Job? Who came and wiped out Job's family, his business, his home? Who did that? Satan did it. And it says it right in the Bible. And some people say, well, God allowed it. God will allow what you'll allow. And don't you ever forget it. Because you got dominion in this earth. God doesn't have dominion. He's God. He gave dominion to mankind. Say amen to that.
Amen.
We gonna fix this thing. I can feel the unbelief, but I'm plowing through it right now. I'm plowing through it. See, you need to stop all that unbelief. You need to say, wait a minute. God has given me authority. The Bible said, he said, let us make man in our image. Man. And let them have what? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion. God didn't say let us have dominion. He said let man. You have got it. You have got it. Don't be calling God. God, what you going to do about that? He going to say, what you going to do about it? I've given it over to you. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting for people who know God to stand up and be counted. Because you can speak it and God will do it. Look what it says in 2 Peter here. 2 Peter chapter, what did I tell you to say? Glory to God in heaven. It shouldn't be this hard plowing through all this mess. You're in a believer's church. Look what it said in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, come on, what? Like precious faith with us, how? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How did they obtain like precious faith? Through righteousness. You see, faith comes by hearing, but faith is established by righteousness. It takes righteousness to move out in great faith. If you don't have a sense of righteousness and your rights in this earth, you can't move out in that kind of faith. Say amen to that. Well, let me just, glory to God. Romans chapter 3. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Look what it said in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God is without the law, God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have what? Sin and come short, come on, of the glory of God. How many of y'all heard that verse before? Well, you haven't heard the others, and the others is what it was talking about. See, I'm telling you, we've majored on the minor here. Look what it said in verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or a cleansing through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Hang with me now. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but the law of what? Faith. Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified. What does justified mean? Made righteous. By what? Faith. Without what? The deeds of the law. Now, when did you get made righteous? When you got born again, you were made the righteousness of God. Can I turn to one more place? Turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Have you got it? Have you got it? Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. What is he? A new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. And behold, how many things? All things are become new. Now, what old things? When you get born again, what's passed away is unrighteousness. When Adam sinned in the garden, Adam, remember, Eve ate of the tree, listened to the serpent, and ate of the tree, and then gave it to Adam and he ate. They both fell. What did they fall? They fell from their place with God, in fellowship with him, to out of fellowship. No more were they and God one. Right. Now they were separate. Right. And they were separated by sin. Got it? Now they're unrighteous. Now what happens is the Bible says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at it. Have you got it? Look at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with who? Unbelievers. For what fellowship hath what? Righteousness with what? Unrighteousness. No righteousness has fellowship with unrighteousness. God is righteous. He has no fellowship with unrighteous. So once Adam fell, whoop, they were separated. Now, notice what Adam did. First, he went and took some fig leaves and did what? He covered himself. Then he ran and what? Hid from God. Now God's calling to him. Now notice, they used to walk together in the garden in the morning, in the cool of the day. And here's Adam hiding now. The very one that he used to be in fellowship with, that used to teach him on a daily basis, now he cannot be around him. Got it? Now, the reason why I'm telling you that is because that's got a lot to do with everything else in your life. Because everything now pours forth from that lack of fellowship. In other words, no fellowship, no peace. No fellowship, no faith. You don't have faith in no God you can't trust, or you can't see, you can't hear, you can't show. You don't have no faith in that kind of God. I'm saying no fellowship, you'll find that all these other things happen. Now, what did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to bring us back up to where Adam had lost. Are you following what I'm saying? Now watch this now. Glory to God. Suppose you have a you're in an apartment, and the landlord comes. But the problem is, you're 3 months behind in rent. What is your tendency to do when you heard he is on the floor? Come on now, help me now. You know why you do that? Because you're not right. Now, how are you going to get a healing from somebody that you're trying to hide from? You better help me. So Satan's trick is to make it. Now, understand. Boom. Got separate. The Bible says, because of Adam, sin passed to every man. You ain't a sinner because of what you did. You're a sinner because of how you were born. That's why you got to be born what? Again. Because everybody was in Adam. That's why Satan was trying to get to Adam, not Eve. Why? Adam had the seed. If he could contaminate one master seed, every seed produces, come on, after his own kind. So the whole human race got contaminated. Boom! Just like that. Now Jesus came from God, brought a brand new seed. Got it? Got a brand new seed here. Now that seed is going to produce after his own kind. And that's why the Bible says any man that is in Christ is a new what? Creature. Another thing it said, new species of being. Another one said new creation. Watch this. Another one said new race. A brand new race of people that never existed before in their life. Stop looking at your body. I just told you in the givens message that your body is not you. Look at all these colors. That's not you. That's your body. You are in there. You are made in the image of God. That person that's in there got born again, and you don't have a past. You don't have a past. You're brand new. You can't go to no little baby and say, now you know what you did 15 years ago? That baby, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that baby don't know what you're talking about because that baby doesn't have a past. But what Satan's trick is to keep you in the flesh, to make you ignorant of the fact that that's not you. And if he can keep you ignorant of the fact that that's not you, even though you've been made righteous, you're going to act unrighteous. And it's hard to get prayers answered. It's hard to get the word to work. It's tough to step out on his word. All of that comes because you fear the one that made you.
Yes, sir.
What we're going to do with this series is we're going to bring you back to the hookup. We're going to bring you back to God where you belong and let you know you got rights to be healed. You got rights to be wealthy. You got rights to get your kids saved. So send the landlord up here because I got a leak in my pipe and I want him to fix it today. God, no more running from him. You know your rights. Faith flows like a flood. You don't have to be, I believe, I see, I believe. And your problem is righteousness. It's not faith. You righteous, and you got your sense of righteousness together. You hear it one time, faith will flow. And it affects how you want to be around God. I mean, when you're not right and so forth, you kind of don't, you know, you can cool around, but you don't want to be, you know, it's kind of like you being on the outs with your wife.
All right.
You know, y'all in the house, but y'all ain't speaking right now. Because it's not right. So the thing that the enemy will do if he can't get you in sin, he'll try to get you sin conscious. Are y'all still working with me now? Y'all still here? Look what Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter, I don't have to turn there because I don't have time. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Here's what he said. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. See, that's where you are. You've been forgiven. But the enemy is trying to make you feel guilty and condemned. Remember, condemnation is a disease of the spirit. Just like you can get a leprosy on a person, or you can get cancer on a person, and so forth. That's a disease of the flesh. You can get a cancer of the spirit called condemnation. And notice the first thing it does, it weakens your body. Now this weakens your spirit. Now why does he want to weaken your spirit? Because all the forces come out of your spirit. The force of faith. You know the shield to keep the devil off? That comes out of your spirit. The force of righteousness, it comes out of your spirit. The force of love, it comes out of your spirit. So he wants to keep you weak and doing the same thing and making the same mistakes. The man sat by the pool of Bethesda, here he was sitting there, and the Bible said Jesus came by and he asked him a question, do you want to be made whole? The man said, well, you know, I'm telling you, I don't have no man to put me in. Every time I get up to try to get in the pool to get healed, and somebody jumped down before me, so forth and so on like that. Notice, the man was sitting there by the pool of Bethesda and he was lame. And Jesus said, listen, rise. Take up your bed and walk. And I like what Oral Roberts says. He said, if you ever get a man to rise up and stand up on the inside, he's going to stand up on the outside. Say amen to that. He's going to stand up on the outside. Now, what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to keep you condemned because condemnation destroys faith. That's one of the first things it does. And if people don't understand this scripture, they'll try to keep you condemned. Even friends will try to come around you and remind you what you did, especially when they get mad at you. Now, I'm telling you, they're used by Satan. See, when Satan took over the earth, the world system, he then used all these people as agents to build for him. And when one looked like he was getting out of line, he'd use that one to come against that one. See, and make you remind you of what you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or yesterday, and try to keep you mindful. So that sin consciousness is mindful of the old person more than the new person. So it's reminding you of your weaknesses more than your successes and failures and victories. So that's a trick of the enemy. And so now I'm not giving anybody a license to sin, because you don't need no license to sin anyway. But I'm saying this. That any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, come on, all things are become new. Now look at the verse 21 here. Look at verse 21. He said this. For he hath made him to be what? Sin for us, who what? Knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, come on, in him. So when a person is conscious of sins, they don't act in a bold way. They always hesitate when God tells them to do something. They require physical evidence that God is moving. In other words, how do you know God heard you? I just felt it. I felt it, brother. Didn't you feel that? Didn't you? No, that's no evidence. The devil can give you a feeling. In other words, it feeds inferiority complex, all these kind of things. Sin consciousness. And it's been preached. And it's kept a whole lot of people in ignorance and deception. Meanwhile, Satan is trying to govern everything with his system. But now the people of God, they that receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, shall reign as kings in this life. Now, the last place, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Praise God in heaven. Hebrews chapter 10. See, I could feel you get happy when you find out that you've been born again. See, when you do something or did something and you felt condemned and guilty, that thing went into a level that's beyond your conscious level.
And that's why the alarm went off. Now, to silence that alarm, it's interesting how many people try to do something to shut that alarm off. Because you just violated something and the alarm went off. Now, what people do is they try to do something to work it off. See? To work it off. Let something whip me. Because I did wrong, so I feel like I should be judged and I need a whipping. So they go into situations to whip themselves. Some relationships. You know the relationship wasn't no good when you got the folks. But you want a whipping. Because you're trying to turn the alarm inside off. Some folks are even coming in the ministry. I'm supposed to preach. You ain't supposed to preach. You're just guilty and you're trying to work it off. Boy, I'm coming home with this one. He's supposed to preach. Never supposed to be in here. Just guilty. Guilty, 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 guilty about having them four marriages. Guilty about so forth. Just want, you know, I'm supposed to preach. No, you ain't. You better hear what I'm saying. See, that's the grace. See, God knew that you didn't have it all together, but your pride told you you did. And because of it, you stepped across the line, had some, you know, whatever you had and did and so forth. Now God knows he got to clean you up. But what you do it is don't accept the grace. You frustrate that and you try to work it off. And you become a slave to a bad relationship. Sit in there and let that person beat you up for day after day. Well, I'm Joe Trollforce. I'm coming home. I don't care how you look at me. I'm coming home with this. Jumping bad jobs. I mean, you name it, one thing after another. And the thing of it is, you're in God's family. You're royalty. You're a king. You're a queen. God wants you. He doesn't want you to be. Come on now. God wants to do it for you, but we're trying to fix it because we're trying to cut that clock off. But the only way you can really cut it off is through the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to show you, because God knows that if you don't know no better, Satan going to trick you. And he's going to trick you again if you don't know any better. And the thing about it is, you made the mistake one time and now you end up in the same place where you was before. And that's what sin consciousness will do. You keep thinking about where you missed it and you miss it again. Keep thinking about where you miss it again, you miss it again. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You gotta think about the goodness of God. You gotta think about him saved, sanctified. Jesus paid the price for my sin. Woo-wee! Yes, sir. Grace. God, he got you covered. He's still daddy. Remember the prodigal son? He went. The Bible, the brother told on him. See, when you feel condemned, you try to condemn everybody else. The brother said, he came back here. He lived with harlots. Didn't he say that or something like that? He lived a riotous living and spent all his money. I'm talking about cocaine. I'm talking about selling drugs. I'm talking about so forth. And then you're going to take him back? Why is God going to take you back? Because it's by grace, man. I'm telling you, when you come home, you know the love of God. You can't even figure out the love of God. Said, Lord, will you take me back? Sure I will. You better get on back in here and get some money. This is a message you need to hear. Because righteousness is not by works. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now just look at this and we're out of here. Ooh-wee. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me to get this message over to your people. Look what it says in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers unto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no what? More conscience. Got it? Of sins. So with bulls and goats, the problem with that is they were left with a conscience of sin. Oh yeah, in their flesh they were cleansed, but in their minds they were still guilty. All right, let's go on down. Verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. And their sins, what? And iniquities. Come on, say it. I'll remember no more. I'll remember no more. Now, somebody came up to me after the last service. They said, Pastor, how about on the day of judgment? Somebody told me that that's the place where he'll bring them all back up. Wrong. Eternally gone. God will never remember your sins again. Turn to 1 John now. A little bit further over towards Revelation. 1 John. Thank God. Folks, one of the first things Satan tried to do to me when I got into ministry and we started moving forward, he tried to condemn me about my past. Then I heard a teaching about Apostle Paul and how Paul had even committed and took Christians to jail where they killed some of them. Then I watch in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, I've hurt no man. I've offended no man. I said, now, wait a minute. This is the same man that hauled him off to prison. No. Come by verse 5 of chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, either you accept that or you got to take that Bible and fold it up and walk away. See, God makes the rules. Thank God Satan doesn't make the rules. Because he'd have every one of us still paying for what we did. And that's what we've tried to do. We've frustrated the grace of God. We're trying to pay for it. We don't need to pay for it. Just get the blood. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't do this. But the blood of Christ is sufficient to cleanse you. Cleanse your mind. Cleanse your heart. You find folks that are condemned are very critical. They don't see good in folks. All they see is something that the folk doing wrong. You know why? Because they are condemned. Here's what Jesus said. I didn't come to condemn the world. They're condemned already. He knew without the blood of Christ, every man stands condemned. This is the answer for the people coming from Iraq who have problems sleeping at night now. This is the answer. Somehow Satan has heaped guilt on them about being in the military and being in the military and doing things the military does. And you can't do that. Notice, they didn't used to have all them kind of problems before. I mean, going back to the war, they had a whole big clinic set up to try to help, you know. I mean, they have always some people who suffer some kind of mental distraught, but I'm just saying that Satan will try to heap guilt upon you anytime. This is the answer for them. I see right now, I got an answer. I can help them people get delivered of all that guilt. My Lord. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins. And what else? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from how much? This is what you do when you do things wrong. And I've had people come in here. I saw a guy in a store. And he saw me But I didn't recognize him. But he recognized me. And he ran up to me and said, Pastor. He said, listen, you got me. I said, got you what? What happened? He said, well, you know, I haven't been there in a while. Now, all these people we got here, and I guess I'm supposed to figure out he hasn't been here. See what that guilt is doing?
Right.
I said, what happened, man? He said, man, I tell you, I went out here and I, you know, got involved, man, with that woman, man. And I said, I wasn't going to do that, man. I got involved. He said, man, I ain't worthy to come back in there. See what the enemy did? He was a baby and tried to walk and fell. And notice what the enemy told him. You're not worthy, my friend. Stay away from there. And the thing you should do when you miss it, don't run from God. Run to the blood. Run to the blood. I'm here to tell you. I said, brother, come here. Let me hug you. You better come back in that house. I said, I know you don't have it all together yet. Neither do I. But I'm working on it.
Yes, sir.
Are you following what I'm saying? I'm working on it. Did y'all get something out of that today? Now, think about in your life what Satan has been using to condemn you.
Yes.
Because sin run rampant in the cities.
Yes.
This is where we really need the grace.
Yes, sir.
Where sin does abound. Grace does much more abound. Many people in the cities, and I know the black Christian community, have not move where they're supposed to move and done what they're supposed to do because of something happening in your past that you have felt unworthy. That condemnation has been yanking on your throat. And let me tell you, you get these scriptures that I gave you, and I'm going to give you some more. We're going to rout that thing out so that you'll be free. Anybody else in here? You'll be free forever. Bible says Satan is the accuser, what?
Of the brethren.
He knows he got the other bunch. It's the brethren he wants to stop because he knows that if you receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, you will reign over him like a king. You will become his master. Do you hear what I'm telling you? And it's time for us to dominate Satan and everything that he puts out here on people's lives. If a person is righteous and does not know it, Satan reigns over him. Sickness and disease become his master. But if you are righteous and know who you are and that you've got rights to be healed, rights to be protected, rights to be delivered, rights to have a good family, right? I'm going to tell you, God will honor those rights going and coming and won't let nobody take them away. Give the Lord a shout. That's all we got. Praise God. Man, this is good stuff. I want you to be just as bold because Satan's been bold. Come on now. He's been bold. He's been doing things that are bold. It's time for the saints to get bold. But we're going to do it with righteousness. Say amen to that.